Romans. Chapter 1. From Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, who was called to be an apostle, separated for the gospel of God, which he had promised beforehand by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the descent of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name's sake, among whom you are also the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that I make mention of you always in my prayers without ceasing, making request, that if by any means now at last I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. Because I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, in order that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and myself. Now I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, that often I planned to come to you, but was prevented even until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles, non-Jews. I am indebted both to the Greeks, and to the barbarians, uncivilized, both to the wise, and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also, because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Because in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Because the wrath, anger, judgment of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known about God is revealed in them, because God has revealed it to them. Because from the creation of the world his invisible attributes have been clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because of this, while they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image made in the form of corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and crawling things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Let it be. For this reason God gave them up to evil affections, because even their women exchanged their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men with men doing that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves just punishment for their error. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not beneficial, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, arguments, deceit, slanders, gossips, vengeful, haters of God, spiteful, arrogant, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, contract breakers, without natural affection, unsatisfiable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that those who commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in those who practice them. Romans chapter 2. Therefore you are without excuse, O man, whoever you are who judges another, because in the way you judge another, you condemn yourself, because you who judge do the same things yourself. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who commit such things. And do you think this, O man, who judges those who do such things, and do the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But after your hardness and unrepentant heart you store up for yourself wrath, anger, judgment, against the day of wrath, anger, judgment, and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To those who patiently continue doing good deeds and seek for glory and honor and immortality eternal life. But to those who are contentious, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, anger, judgment, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile, non-Jews. But glory, honor, and peace, to every man who does good deeds, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, non-Jews. Because there is no preferential treatment of persons with God. As many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. Because it is not the hearers of the law who are justified before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. Because when the Gentiles, non-Jews, who do not have the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts in the meantime accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Listen, you who are called a Jew, and rest in the law, and make your boast of God, and know his will, and approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light of those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, who have the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who hate idols, do you commit sacrilege? Put worldly things ahead of God. You who make your boast in the law, through breaking the law do you dishonor God? Because the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles, non-Jews, because of you. As it is written, because circumcision truly profits, if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore if the uncircumcised keep the righteousness of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And will not the uncircumcised who by nature, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who by the letter and circumcision transgress the law? Because he is not a Jew, who is one outwardly, neither is circumcision, that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, who is one inwardly. And circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Romans chapter 3. What advantage then does the Jew have? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much in every way. Chiefly, because to them were committed the oracles, scriptures of God. So what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief cause the faith of God to be without effect? God forbid. Yes, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you might be justified in your sayings, and might overcome when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness commends the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who takes vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. How then could God judge the world? Because if the truth of God has abounded more through my lie to his glory, why am I still judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come. Their damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, not in any way. Because we have proven already that both Jews and Gentiles, non-Jews, are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one who is righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands, there is no one who seeks after God. They have all gone out of the way, they have altogether become unprofitable, there is no one who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of snakes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And they have not known the way of peace. There is no fear of God within them. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be silenced, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in his sight, because by the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is revealed, being witnessed to by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ to all and upon all those who believe. Because there is no difference. Because all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a debt-paying sacrifice through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the forgiveness of sins that are past, through the patient restraint of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness. That he might be just, and the justifier of the one who believes in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also God of the Gentiles non-Jews? Yes, of the Gentiles non-Jews also. Since it is one God, who will justify the circumcised by faith, and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Indeed, we establish the law. Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? If Abraham was justified by works, he had reason to boast, but not before God. Because what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works the reward is not considered as a gift, but payment due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man, to whom God credits righteousness without works. Saying, blessed are those whose sins are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not count sin. Does this blessedness come then upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? We say that faith was credited to Abraham for righteousness. How was it credited? When he was circumcised, or uncircumcised? Not when he was circumcised, but when he was still uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, as a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still being uncircumcised. That he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are not circumcised, that righteousness might be credited to them also. And the father of the circumcised to those who are not only of the circumcised, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our forefather Abraham, which he had while still being uncircumcised. Because the promise, that he should be the heir of the world, was not to Abraham, or to his descendants, through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Because if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of no effect. Because the law works wrath, anger, judgment. Because where there is no law, there is no sin. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace. To the end that the promise might be sure to all the descendants. Not to those only who are of the law, but to those also who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Before him in whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead, and speaks of those things which are not yet as though they already are. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body dead, when he was about 100 years old, nor even the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that, what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, that it was credited to him. But for us also, to whom it shall be credited, if we believe on him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Romans chapter 5. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we rejoice in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope does not make ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Because while we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Because hardly for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love towards us, in that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath, anger, judgment through him. Because if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we will be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received our sin debt paid in full. Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, because all have sinned. Because until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not counted when there is no law. Nevertheless death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's sin, who is the image of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. Because if through the offense of one many became dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded upon many. And the gift is not like the offense, it was by one who sinned. Because the judgment was by one for condemnation, but the free gift is for the justification of many offenses. Because if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men for justification for life. Because as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one will many be made righteous. Furthermore the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace much more abounded, that as sin has reigned leading to death, even so might grace reign through righteousness leading to eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we, who are dead to sin, live any longer in it? Do you not know, that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Because if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from now on we should not serve sin. Because he who is dead is freed from sin. Now if we are dead with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more, death has no more rule over him. In that he died to sin once, but in that he lives to God. Likewise also consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Neither yield your bodies as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But yield yourselves to God, as those who are alive from the dead, and your bodies as instruments of righteousness to God. Because sin cannot rule over you. Because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Do you not know, that to whom you yield yourselves as servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey? Whether for sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But be thankful to God, that though you were the servants of sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of teaching which was delivered to you. Being then set free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the weakness of your flesh. You have in the past yielded your bodies as servants to uncleanness and to sin on top of sin, even so now yield your bodies as servants to righteousness for holiness. Because when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit did you have then in those things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, and being servants to God, you have your fruit for holiness, and the end is everlasting life. Because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 7. Do you not know, brothers? Because I speak to those who know the law, how the law rules over a man as long as he lives. The woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, but if the husband is dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she becomes married to another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband is dead, she is free from that law. So that she is no adulteress, even though she becomes married to another man. Therefore, my brothers, you also have become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit for God. Because when we were in the flesh, the deeds of sins, which were by the law, worked in our bodies to bring forth fruit leading to death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead in the bodies in which we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No, I would not have known what sin was, except by the law, because I would not have known lust, except the law had said, "You shall not covet." But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, brought about in me all manner of evil desire. Because without the law sin was dead. Because I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained for life, I found to be for death. Because sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Then was that which is good made death for me. God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Because we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Worldly, full of lust. Sold under sin. Because that which I do, is what I do not allow, because what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, that is what I do. If then I do that which I do not want, I agree that the law is good. Now then it is no longer I who do it, but sin that lives in me. Because I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, lives no good thing, because the will to do good is present with me. But how to perform that which is good I do not find. Because the good that I want to do I do not do, but the evil which I do not want to do, that I do. Now if I do that which I do not want, it is no more I who do it, but sin that lives in me. I find then a law, that, when I want to do good, evil is present within me. Because I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my body, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my body. O wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Romans chapter 8. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Because what the law could not do, because it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because those who live according to the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit the things of the Spirit. Because to be carnally, worldly, lustful, minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal, worldly, lustful mind is an enemy against God. Because it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then those who live according to the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Now if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies by his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Because if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, are the sons of God. Because you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Because the earnest expectation of all creatures waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Because the creatures were made subject to vanity, not willingly, but because of him who had subjected him in hope. Because the creatures themselves also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. because we know that the whole of creation groans and labors in pain together even until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, for the redemption of our bodies. Because we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. Why does a man still hope for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. Because we do not know what we should pray for as we should. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be spoken. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Because those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Furthermore, those whom he predestined, he also called, and whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, will he not with him also freely give us all things? Who will lay anything to the charge of God's chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, yes rather, who is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long, we are considered as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am persuaded, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 9. I say the truth in Christ, I do not lie, my conscience also bears me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Because I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the forefathers, and of whom according to the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God is blessed forever. Amen, let it be. Not as though the word of God has taken no effect. Because not all who are descended from Israel, are of Israel. Nor, because they are the descendants of Abraham, are they all children of Abraham, but in Isaac shall your descent be named. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the descendants. Because this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah will have a son. And not only this. But when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our forefather Isaac. Because while the children were still unborn, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Because he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Because the scripture say to Pharaoh, even for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he wills he hardens. You will say then to me, why does he yet find fault? Because who can resist his will? No, but who are you, O man, who replies against God? Will the thing that is formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me this way? Does not the potter have power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel for honor, and another for dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath, anger, judgment, and to make his power known, endured with great patience the vessels of wrath, anger, judgment made for destruction? That he might make known the riches of his glory upon the vessels of mercy, which he had beforehand prepared for glory. Even as, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, non-Jews. As he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people, who were not my people, and her beloved, who was not beloved. And it will come to pass, that in the place where it was said to them, You are not my people, there they will be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel are as the sand of the sea, only a remnant will be saved. Because he will finish the work, and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work the Lord will make upon the earth, and as Isaiah said before, Unless the Lord of hosts, armies, multitudes, had left us a seed, we would have been as Sodom, and been made like Gomorrah. What can we say then? That the Gentiles, non-Jews, who did not follow after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but by the works of the law. Because they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Look, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be ashamed. Romans chapter 10. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is, that they might be saved. Because I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Because they are ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man who does those things will live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, Who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, Who will descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth, and in your heart. That is, the word of faith, which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because with the heart a man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Because the scripture says, Whoever believes on him will not be ashamed. Because there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, because the same Lord over all is rich towards all who call upon him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach, unless they are sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad news of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Because Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, certainly. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and says, I was found by those who did not seek me, I was revealed to those who did not look for me. But to Israel he said, All day long I have stretched forth my hands towards a disobedient and arrogant people. Romans chapter 11. I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. I also am an Israelite, of the descent of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says about Elijah? How he made intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets, and torn down your altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what was God's answer to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men, who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the chosen by grace. And if by grace, then is it no longer by works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. But if it is by works, then is it no longer grace, otherwise work is no longer work. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he searches for, but the chosen have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. As it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. To this very day. And David said, Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a payment to them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always with burdens. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. but rather through their false salvation has come to the Gentiles, non-Jews, to provoke them to jealousy. Now if their fall results in the riches of the world, and their diminishing results in the riches of the Gentiles, non-Jews, how much more their fullness? I speak to you Gentiles, non-Jews, since I am the apostle of the Gentiles, non-Jews, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke those who are my kinsmen to imitate me, and might save some of them. Because if their casting away results in the reconciling of the world, what will their receiving be, but life from the dead? If the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches are broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partake of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you boast, remember that you do not bear the root, but the root bears you. You will say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be high-minded, arrogant, but fear. Because if God did not spare the natural branches, take heed lest he also not spare you. Consider therefore the goodness and severity of God, on those who fell, severity. But towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also shall be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue to live in unbelief, will be grafted in, because God is able to graft them in again. If you were cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more will these, who are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit. That blindness in part has come upon Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles, non-Jews, has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. There will come out of Zion the Deliverer, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Because this is my covenant to them, when I will take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but concerning the chosen, they are beloved for the forefathers' sakes. Because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Because as you in times past had not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so these also have now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Because God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him, that it may be paid back to him again? Because of him, and through him, and to him, are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Let it be. Romans chapter 12. Brothers, I urge you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, and acceptable, and perfect, will of God. Because I say, through the grace given to me, to every man who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. But to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Because as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us attend to our ministering, or he who teaches, on teaching. Or he who encourages, on encouragement, he who gives, let him do it with simplicity, he who rules, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be unpretended. Hate that which is evil, cling to what is good. Have kindly affection towards one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Do not be lazy in business, but be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless, and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not mind high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Do not be wise in your own conceit. Repay to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather leave room for wrath, anger, judgment. As it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him; if he is thirsty, give him drink. Because in so doing you will heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans chapter 13. Let everyone be subject to the higher authorities. Because there is no authority except from God, the authorities that are ordained by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority, resists the law of God, and those who resist will receive to themselves damnation. Because rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Do you want to not be afraid of the authorities? Then do that which is good, and you will have praise from the same. Because he is the minister of God to you for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. Because he does not bear the sword in vain. He is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath, anger, judgment, upon the one who does evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only for wrath, anger, judgment, but also for conscience' sake. Because it is for this reason you also pay taxes. Because they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Therefore give to all their dues, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. Owe no man anything, but love one another, because he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Because all this: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is briefly summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in going to prostitutes and lustful acts, not in strife and envying. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not make provision for the flesh, to fulfill its lusts. Romans chapter 14. Receive the one who is weak in the faith, but not to doubtful disputes. One believes that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eats only vegetables. Do not let the one who eats meat despise the one who does not eat meat, and do not let the one who does not eat meat judge the one who does eat meat, because God has received him. Who are you who judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yes, he will be upheld. Because God is able to make him stand. One man values one day above another, another values every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He who regards the day, regards it for the Lord. And he who does not regard the day, for the Lord he does not regard it. He who eats, eats for the Lord, because he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat does so for the Lord, and gives God thanks. Because none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. Because if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord, therefore whether we live, or die, we are the Lord's. For this purpose Christ both died, and rose, and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you put down your brother? We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, and every tongue will confess to God." So then every one of us will give account of himself to God. Therefore let us not judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to the one who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if your brother is grieved with what you eat, you are not now walking in charity. Do not destroy with what you eat the one for whom Christ died. Do not let your good be evilly spoken of. Because the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, and peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God, and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things in which we may encourage one another. Because meat does not destroy the work of God. All things indeed are pure. But it is evil for that man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor to drink wine, nor anything which causes your brother to stumble, or is offended, or is made weak. Do you have faith? Keep it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in that thing which he allows. And he who doubts is damned if he eats meat, because he does not eat it in faith, because whatever is not done in faith is sin. Romans chapter 15. We then who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good and for his encouragement. Because even Christ did not please himself, but, as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Because whatever things were written beforehand were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus. That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcised for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the forefathers. And that the Gentiles, non-Jews, might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles, non-Jews, and sing to your name. And again he said, rejoice, you Gentiles, non-Jews, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, non-Jews. And give praise to him, all people. And again, Isaiah said, there will be a root of Jesse, and he who will rise to reign over the Gentiles, non-Jews. In him will the Gentiles, non-Jews, trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brothers, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brothers, I have written the more boldly to you in this matter, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, non-Jews, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles, non-Jews, might be acceptable, being sanctified, made holy, by the Holy Spirit. I have therefore reason that I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Because I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not brought about through me, to make the Gentiles, non-Jews, obedient, by word and deed. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem, and around Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yes, so I have striven to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they who have not heard will understand. For this reason also I have been greatly hindered from coming to you. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you. Whenever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. Because I expect to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way to there by you, if first I am somewhat filled with your company. But now I go to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. Because it has pleased those of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints who are at Jerusalem. It has pleased them indeed. And they are their debtors. Because if the Gentiles, non-Jews, have been made partakers of their spiritual things, it is their duty also to minister to them in material things. Therefore when I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that, when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I urge you, brothers, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. That I may be delivered from those who do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted by the saints. That I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let it be.
Romans chapter 16. I commend to you Phoebe our sister, who is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea. That you receive her in the Lord, as becomes saints, and that you assist her in whatever business she has need of you. Because she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. For whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles, non-Jews. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute those who are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobas, Hermes, and the brothers who are with them. Salute Philologus, and Julia, Nerus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I urge you, brothers, take note of those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the teaching which you have learned, and avoid them. Because those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own personal desires, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Because your obedience has spread abroad to all men, I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise towards that which is good, and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let it be. Timothy, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, for Paul, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and of the whole church, salutes you. Erastus, the city's treasurer, salutes you, and Cordus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen, let it be. Now to him who has the power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now has been revealed, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Let it be.